We have three questions. First question, Dr. J, can you provide the scriptural support or basis for the order and sequence of the contents of the Ark of the Covenant? My answer is I included a link to Tim's blog, The Most Holy Place Metaphor. Now, there in studying this out for myself, in the blog, Tim states that the order or the contents of the ark are the manna, tablets of stone, and Aaron's rod that budded. And in the blog, he states that that's the order that they go in: the manna, tablets of stone, and the rod that budded. Meaning, symbolizing that we first intake the bread of heaven. You know, we get to know Jesus, and we open our hearts and trust to Him. And literally taking in the bread of heaven, making it a part of us, then He writes His law on our hearts and minds, and then we produce fruit. We were dead in trespass and sin, and then we become vines grafted. We become branches plucked from the fire, grafted into the vine, producing fruit. I imagine that the person who asked this question has some issues, because in Exodus 16 is the first mention of manna, and then Moses commands Aaron to take an omer, roughly a quart of manna, and put it in with the testimony. Certain translations say with the testimony. Some people believe that the testimony were the tablets of stone that were already there. I actually texted Tim this morning from wherever he is, and he sent back a quote from an author suggesting that the testimony was the ark and the tablets of stone weren't in it yet, because coming up in Exodus 20 is when the tablets of stone make their appearance on the scene. Now, I don't know if Exodus is written in chronological order. To me, it doesn't matter. I would well imagine there are some individuals who have the law written on their hearts and minds first, and then they take in the bread of heaven and produce fruit. I don't think God has only one way of doing things. So I would submit that all three of those elements are necessary for healing. Whether we develop an appreciation for God's design laws first, and then we need to be constantly eating the bread of heaven and constantly producing fruit. And which happens first, I may differ for individuals. I don't know. I don't think it's I don't think it's an issue of salvation which comes first. Yes. So, whoever authored this question, if this answer doesn't satisfy you, resubmit it. I think Lori's teaching next week, and Tim will be back first Sabbath in December. Question number two. An individual interpreted that the Hebrew word hyphil is the permissive verb form. Thus, in Genesis 6:17, when God brought the flood, He only permitted it rather than caused it. This perspective varies slightly in your teachings of God's use of power in the Old Testament as acts of grace to put them in a timeout. In other words, God simply allowed the flood. Any insight to this slight variation? P.S., the individual and you are on the same page that God is not the source of evil and destruction. Well, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, nor do I know who this individual is, so I don't know that I can comment accurately on this. So whether or not God brought the flood or permitted it is immaterial to me. I don't think it matters. None of the people who went to sleep in the flood are dead, according to the scriptural definition of death. They are asleep, and they will be resurrected with the same thought and speech patterns, the same behaviors, the same habits, and the same character that they went to sleep with. And we have no way of knowing whether they're saved or lost. God will accurately diagnose them when that time comes. It's not a salvation issue to me. I think it's minutia. I mean, I appreciate the question. It made me think, but I don't think it's an issue of salvation. Whether God caused or permitted it, look at the methodology of how it unfolded. The flood wasn't instantaneous. The people who didn't get on the boat had time. They had time to reconsider. They had time to, Noah was right. Now what? Well, they may have had days to repent. We don't know. Thief on the cross, great example. We have no idea of knowing whether they're saved or lost. And if they're saved, then they're going to sleep a long time. Doesn't matter. Last question. What is the reason of dividing the land with each tribe having its own boundary? They are all brothers, and this may contribute to hostility among them and cause the division of the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2. Throughout the years, these tribes have been intermarried and no pure tribe is left. God would know this would happen, so why bother to divide the land? Time was spent to find out the population of each tribe and then to survey the land size and then settle various disputes. Well, imagine the disputes if they had not divided the land. And I would reference the current nation state of Israel as an example. Consider everything that God did in the Old Testament under the context of keeping open the avenue of the Messiah and Satan's opposition to that. Denying access to the tree of life, the flood, separating the languages, the Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah, the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Exodus, the division of the 12 tribes, the Egyptian and Babylonian captivity, etc. All of these things were interventions, and they served to keep open the avenue of the Messiah. And I think they were the least injurious interventions needed. God only did the minimum amount of intervention needed. The Tower of Babel, confusing the language. That was to slow down the confederacy of men against him and solidifying them in sin. Sodom and Gomorrah. He only eliminated the cities that would have eventually corrupted Abraham's descendants. They were putting a time out. So the division of the land, the tribes, I think that was an intervention that God did that was necessary to keep open the avenue, to protect the tribe of Judah so that the line of Judah could come. Any thoughts? All right, there you have it. Three questions. I last checked the questions about 9:30 this morning. So if your question was submitted after that, or if you didn't like my answers, resubmit them. All right. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath and have a good weekend.